Play. Kids love it. Brains need it. But people don't always understand it. Here to help explain it, your hosts, Keisha and Heather. They're knee-deep in play.
Parent, or had to work with a parent who you found it really hard to work with. Did you ever come into that situation?
This has been an Explorations Early Learning Upstairs Studio production.
Did I ever?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh, yeah. Every group of parents has got parents like that, you know, because I don't know. I think part of it is just that, you know, childhood amnesia. They forget what it's like. So instead of really thinking about the kind of parent they always wish they had, they try to begin in this thing about what is the kind of parent I should be, you know, and they, you know, they end up trying to do too much or totally neglectful or anywhere in between. But, you know, sometimes I got to be honest with you and tell you that there are people after 2 or 3 years leave the school and you know what they're muttering as they walk to their car. Now we can get on to some real learning.
You know, after everything
that we've told them. You know, so some you may never really suck in.
Uh-huh.
Others are a part of it after 2 steps through the front door when they visit. They go, yes, this is so right. You know, and so, yeah.
Do you find
the complete variety of families?
Do you find that, because I find that, do you find that dads seem to want to come in and like really get down and play? Because I find that when I do tours and there's a father there, they're like, you can tell they're chopping at the bits to just build with some blocks. So do you find that? Do you run into parents who you feel like they are excited about the environment almost like for them, for their child, but almost like for themselves as well?
Yes, absolutely. You know, a lot of them will say, you know, I would have loved if I'd been in a place like this as a child.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is that I have to remind them that, you know, unfortunately you had your shot. It's your child's turn now, because you know what? A lot of times they will get too involved in the play,
mm-hmm.
and there's no way that a kid won't feel intimidated by that. There's this big person that's so intelligent, knows, can do anything. And I have to really just gently remind them that, you know what, sometimes a kid will invite you into the play, but I want you to get used to inviting yourself back out of it as fast as you can and not to take over.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, some of the worst parents are the engineers. They'll see a child trying to do something and they can't help it, you know, this is the way you should do this, you know, kind of moments where I know how to do this. Yes.
Uh-huh.
And so you just kind of have to tell them, you know what? Childhood involves a lot of trial and error, a lot of making mistakes, a lot of figuring it out. So that's not our job to kind of show them the right way from, you know, day one.
Mm-hmm.
But to go back to your question, yes, a lot of moms and dads say, gosh, yeah, I can picture myself as a child here and what I would have been doing.
That's awesome. That's absolutely awesome. Before we go, because I think time is running down, before we go, I did want to ask you or talk to you and have you talk to us about the aspect of tinkering and making and woodworking with children. So I know that that's something you're really passionate about. And it's something that I have done in our classroom, but not anywhere near to the extent that I know that you do with your children. So can you talk to us a little bit about the logistics of that and also how do parents how do you get parents comfortable with their children using these real tools?
Well, we try to be, as authentic as we can, and there is absolutely nothing authentic about a plastic tool. I mean, I've tried. You can't cut wood with a plastic saw. And so, I think it's if a child should stumble into a real one and pick it up, they've experienced a plastic one. You can't hurt yourself with that. So, I want to be authentic and say that this is a tool. We're going to start with this is what it's called. And this is what it does. And that's kind of a deal breaker. If a child wants to take us on, chop things with it, nope, that's a deal breaker. And so we're real clear about there's a proper use for all these tools. We're going to show you what that is, and we're going to be right here to help you do whatever it is you need to do. And it's always one-on-one. Well, let me clarify that. Some of the 5-year-olds, 6-year-olds in my class are certified with all the tools. I mean, they spend a couple of years using them. I don't have to hover quite so much. Mm-hmm. So I can have a 5-year-old using a sander or, drilling screws into a piece of wood while I'm attending to a 3-year-old who's just starting out on this stuff. And so really, if a child comes up and says, I need to do this, I want this tool, you're going with the tool. Right? It's not like we say, here's a saw, run along and have a good time. So, we're responsible for the safety of these children. And these things, they could hurt a person if used in the wrong way. But a lot of these kids appreciate that we trust them with these real things and don't abuse that. It's wonderful. And they come to know where this is what I want to do. I know I need that tool. Can you get it for me? And it's wonderful to watch them, their confidence, the things they create. They know that they can actually make something and take it home with them. Mm-hmm. And that, we're there to help them experience that. And just, that real trust that it involves. It's wonderful to watch. And so an important part of this is a lot of these parents haven't grown up with using tools themselves. So one of our parent meetings, we will have tables spread out with tools on it, and they can kind of walk around the room and we'll explain, okay, this is what this is, and this is how you use it, and this is how you help a child with it. So it does take a pretty good effort to get them comfortable with using it with the child.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever had a parent say, my child can't do that? And whether it be work with the tools or jump in mud puddles or whatever it is, have you ever had a parent who said, my child can't do that? And if you have, how do you guys handle that?
I don't recall that necessarily happening. I think they really just trust us because most of the staff at the school has been there for a long time. I mean, even the newest teacher's probably been there over a decade.
Wow.
And so they respect us for what we know about kids. And I got to tell you, in particular, I have a little boy in my class. And his mom is one of those that's a little bit nervous. And the way he asks for a tool, he'll say, Teacher Michael, I need a hammer. I'll open up the cabinet and say, well, which one do you need? He goes, the dangerous one. So now I have a variety of hammers. So now I find myself pitching to this little kid, which is the most dangerous hammer he could choose. And, like this one, the claw is really straight. It's more like an axe. So is this the one you're talking about? And the whole time his mom is watching because she knows I'm going to be right there with the child. Nothing's going to happen on my watch. And so you can see them become a lot more comfortable with the notion of, it's like working in the kitchen. You use real stuff, right? This is just these tools are designed to work with wood, and that's what their kids are going to learn about.
Awesome. Absolutely amazing.
So you have to finish the story. How did he make out with the dangerous hammer? How did it go?
Oh, well, everything he used, he wants the most dangerous thing. So he's a little three-year-old, and so he started with hammers, and then we went to a Sawzall, which is, you know, it's a dangerous tool. And, you know, so I've got my hands right on it. To be honest with you, the ones that scare parents the most are the ones that make noise, right, like a Sawzall.
Uh-huh.
But a child simply can't heft it himself and use it or herself. So I've got my hands right on it. They're standing right, you know, between my legs. I got my arms around them. Their hands are on it too, but I've got control over it because I got the trigger, right? So, but we're going to cut this wood together. So they're experiencing that, but it's the ones that don't make noise. Like if I hand a kid a hammer, he's got it in his hands. I'm no longer holding it. He can turn to his playmate and whack in a second, and I couldn't prevent it. Right? But these other ones where I'm right there with them, any power tool, there's no way they're going to get hurt.
And that's the ones that we fear because of that noise and the power.
Oh, yeah.
The power behind
oh, yeah.
the tool. Wonderful. Well, again, it's because the parents don't remember what it's like to be a child, right? They don't. Those parents, they're just thinking about the noise and the electricity and that element of it, whereas if they could remember being an impetuous three-year-old who, you know, little Stevie's right beside, and yesterday Stevie took my truck or whatever he did, no wonder you might take that hammer and want to whack Stevie. So they're not that whole, they're not having child, you know, that whole childhood amnesia thing, right? So they don't remember. And whereas that's why when we're standing there, we know that hand over hand with the electric tool, it's pretty safe. Whereas, you know, if you, as an ECE, you sort of know the kids' personalities, you know the dynamics, you remember the history between these personalities. So that's when you're thinking, this parent, why is that parent so relaxed? Because, look, he's got the hammer.
Yeah.
But,
well, you know, and right now what we're doing is we have still in the environment some of the trees that families dropped off after the holidays. It's been wet finally here and it's cold, so the trees are still green. And they're just Christmas trees we planted in the yard, so we have this forest of about 60 trees. And so when one starts to turn brown, we'll just get a rope and the kids will haul it out to the front of the school and we give them loppers and they just, we don't say what to do. We just, here, you might need this. And they lop off all the limbs. And then they have this trunk that we end up using in, you know, the outside space somewhere to make forts or lean-tos or whatever. But I find the kids really like working hard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is forest that they get to harvest.
I just learned what a lopper was.
They use saws. Loppers?
Yeah, I heard you say it last year. After the holidays, you were explaining what it was. And then Heather and I did an episode on the trees and the tree forest, and she, again, explained, because I've never seen a lopper, so I don't know what to look for. Heather was explaining to me what it looks like and how you use one. So that's something that's on my list for next year when we do a tree forest to get some loppers.
Yeah,
it's a pruning tool.
Preschool is at our place,
trees,
right?
And it's easy to use, and the kids can figure it out. It's like a shovel. I've never seen a kid that doesn't know how to use a shovel.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
It's the same with loppers. They can see there's this little end that's got these little blades on the end and these two long handles. So they know automatically, well, my hands go down here, and whack, and that limb comes right off.
They love it. The kids in the vivacity room, that's it, man. They cannot get wait to get out there and lopping those branches off.
Well, you know, the kids have this self-efficacy where they believe that they're able to do tasks and make things happen. I mean, they just have that kind of belief that, yeah, I can, I'm capable. Mm-hmm. And so with a little guidance and a little help, yeah, they work hard. It's fun to watch.
So a couple of things we should say before we end. I mean, obviously, I'm sure one thing would be we'd love to have you back some other time to talk about some other things. I'd love someday to have you talk about some of the amazing contraptions and inventions that you have designed at the program. You know, just one example is the train table and how a lot of the things that you create, a concern that many ECEs would have or directors would have is that these things take up a lot of space. And you always come up with the most fascinating ways to be able to, you know, whether it's sort of a hydraulic system or whatever it is or something, you know. And then I was thinking about the pump thing with the water. And so someday it'd be lovely to have you back for that.
Well, I'd love to do that.
Your book is sold out, but it looks like it might be coming out in the future as an e-book, so that we want to make sure to mention that because it's such a wonderful book. I know I have a copy. Keisha has a copy. So Chance, Finger Plays, and Stories. And my favorite feature in the book is the drawings, Michael. I believe, did you draw the pictures yourself?
With my bare hands. I used family members. I think Bev's on one of the pages, too.
Yeah.
So I'm sure I just drove him crazy by, you know, here's a chant I want to do, and I need you to pose like you're making that hand motion while I take a photo and then turn it into a rendering. You know, my daughters were very patient with me.
It's the type of book that any program – it would the pages would be frayed because it's such a great resource to have at your fingertips.
Well, I have an idea. How about to take us out? You, Michael, choose a chant or a song or finger play that you would like to use as we say goodbye to our listeners.
And we should wait a second, Michael. Before you do that, we should say, Keisha, that Michael is going to be at the pep rally in April. So anybody who's listening and thinking, oh, my gosh, I've got to hear this man speak, and this is so great listening to him. I could learn so much from him. He will be at, what's the name of the place?
The pep rally. It is at the Claggett, and it is April 8th, 9th, and 10th in Adamstown, Maryland. And we're going to have some wonderful people there, and Michael Lehman is one of those wonderful people.
Right.
I'm looking forward to that. That's coming up.
I know, it is. I can't believe it. Winter's almost over.
Yeah.
Thank goodness.
You know, it's,
I know, I'm telling
I think,
you. I have.
I think we're finally breaking this drought, this four-year drought. We're getting rain, and it's wonderful again. So anyway, the chant right now that's the real popular one at school is it's called Timothy Snail, and it's a finger play, and it goes, here's little Timothy Snail, his house is on his back. One day two people came along and plopped him in a sack. At last he managed to crawl out of a hole so small. And what became of him after that, I've never been told at all. Immediately the kids will say, we can act that out. But now you got these kids acting like snails. You get a big blanket. You put a big blanket over them for the sack that these two people put them in, and then they crawl out. And once you do that, you're going to do it minimum a dozen times. Uh-huh. And each time the laughing and the hooting just gets louder and louder. It's just so fun.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Michael. That was wonderful. And I need to go dig out
my
book.
Pleasure.
Awesome.
Yes, thanks.
Right, take care of you guys.
I hope everybody enjoyed our special guest. Honestly, Michael, while you were doing the snail one, my dog, people should know that my dog is friends with Michael. And so I think Poco was listening to the snail thing and starting to growl. You don't like snails, do you, Pokes? Is the snail one in your book? Because we could maybe, if with your permission, I could take a picture of that page to post on the Upstairs Studio Facebook page.
You know what? I don't know. I do know that I did it for the Starting in the Corner project, but I could make a page for you. Okay?
Okay.
How's that?
Because that way we can just post it so people can really retain it. Otherwise, we'll just keep rewinding and listening again and again.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, thanks for asking me, you guys. This has been fun. I've enjoyed
it. Thank you. And we'll see you soon at the pet rally.
Thanks.
Okay.
Bye, guys. Bye-bye. Thanks for listening.
Bye-bye.
This has been Knee Deep in Play. Join us next week for another episode. This has been an Explorations Early Learning Upstairs Studio production.
Oh.